This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Iran wants revenge. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koshenka. On this Tuesday, January 7, glad you could be with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
The head of Iran's National Security Council today said Tehran is considering multiple options to respond to the targeted killing of its military leader by the U.S.
Pentagon officials say a letter sent by a Marine general to the Iraqi parliament about U.S. troop withdrawal was a mistake.
A new report offers more details on how former Nissan chairman Carlos Ghosn escaped Japan. It says he was smuggled out in a big black box.
And the U.S. furniture industry is bouncing back, but it can't find enough workers.
The problem that they're having is after years of financial stress, the financial crisis, foreign competition, they don't have enough skilled workers. And that's a real challenge. It's a challenge for all kinds of manufacturers, but it's particularly a challenge for the furniture industry.
Wall Street Journal reporter Ruth Simon on the good and bad news for furniture makers. Hundreds of thousands of people marched through Iran's capital as part of a funeral procession yesterday for a military general who was targeted by American forces. Mourners called for revenge against the U.S. Washington says General Qasem Soleimani, who was the commander of the Quds Force, the foreign wing of Iran's Revolutionary Guard, is responsible for killing hundreds of U.S. and coalition soldiers in Iraq since the U.S.-led invasion in 2003. Further reaction from Senate Democrat leader Chuck Schumer.
I've become increasingly alarmed about the strike, a strike that was carried out with insufficient transparency, without consultation of Congress, and without a clear plan for what comes next.
Arkansas Republican Senator Tom Cotton, who served with the U.S. Army in Iraq.
Let's remember who he was as well. He's been the terror mastermind of Iran for decades. He has the blood of thousands of Americans on his hands.
He was on Fox News. Meanwhile, the Pentagon said it plans to send B-52 bombers and more troops to the Mideast. Separately, at least 35 people were killed today and dozens injured during a stampede at Mr. Soleimani's burial place. It wasn't clear what caused it. Among the events taking place as part of the geopolitical tension involving Washington and Baghdad is a letter by an American general in the Middle East to the Iraqi government announcing the U.S. will reposition forces after Parliament's vote to expel American troops. However, Defense Secretary Mark Esper said no decision has been made to pull U.S. troops from Iraq. Mr. Esper was responding to an unsigned letter from Marine Corps Brigadier General William Seely addressed to Iraq's Defense Ministry.
There is no decision to leave, nor do we issue any plans to leave or prepare to leave. We are committed to the de-ISIS mission in Iraq alongside our allies and partners.
Army General Mark Milley, chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, said the letter was a draft circulated for review and was a mistake. The Pentagon announced just last week it was sending as many as 3,000 additional soldiers to the Middle East. Meanwhile, the head of Iran's National Security Council said earlier today that Tehran is assessing 13 scenarios to respond to the U.S. killing of General Soleimani and added even the weakest of those options would be, quote, a historic nightmare for the U.S. Further reaction and analysis with Guy Reschenthaler, congressman representing Southwest Pennsylvania. He's on the House Foreign Affairs Committee. Guy, your take on what's unfolded.
Well, I first just want to say that I applaud President Trump and his action to take out Soleimani. You know, I prosecuted terrorists in Iraq. I was stationed in Baghdad. These are dangerous people, and Soleimani was one of the most dangerous actors in that region. And when he stepped foot on Iraqi soil, he was doing it for one purpose only, and that was to plan the attacks on U.S. service members, U.S. diplomats, and U.S. allies. So it was imperative that we neutralize that imminent threat and I applaud the president for doing so.
All right. You know that the critics at this point are saying that the president is escalating things, or was a disproportionate response, I think I heard one critic say. Your reaction?
Well, the individuals that were escalating were the Iranians. Remember, the Iranians are the ones that were shooting rockets into U.S. bases in Iraq that killed an American and wounded other Americans. The Iranians were the ones that shot down a $100 million U.S. drone. The Iranians are the ones that are threatening to shut down the Strait of Hormuz. So the Iranians are the ones that have been engaged with us. What the president did was neutralize an imminent threat when he took out Soleimani. He was in his right to do so, not only through self-defense, but also to prevent future attacks.
All right. So you're a Navy JAG in Iraq. Help us understand what happens next now that an Iranian general, basically a number two person in all of Iran, has been killed on Iraqi soil in really what is a battle to influence Iraq.
Well, we view him as an enemy combatant because when he stepped foot in Baghdad, he was there to plan the attacks on U.S. service members, U.S. bases, and U.S. allies. So he was an enemy combatant. He was a lawful target. He was also designated as a terrorist, I believe, back in 2007, but he's been designated a terrorist by not only the United States, but also the EU. So it is in our rights to take him out and neutralize the target.
We're speaking with Guy Reschenthaler, Republican congressman from Southwest Pennsylvania. In terms of Iran's threatened retaliation here, what can we expect? Rockets at neighbors? Perhaps a cyber attack on the U.S.?
Well, Iran has been attacking us in a number of ways for the last few months, years. I'd even argue back to 79 when they stormed our embassy. They're also the ones that led the attack on our U.S. embassy in Baghdad. So they've already been in a state of hostility with us. But I can tell you this, as a former naval officer, someone that served in Baghdad, there is nothing the Iranians have thought of that the U.S. military has not already thought of. They will not catch the U.S. military flat-footed. But I can tell you this. For the first time since arguably Ronald Reagan, the Iranians are more worried about what we are going to do to them rather than us worried about what they're going to do to us. So it's good that we're now negotiating with Iran from a position of strength. And I applaud the president for taking this action and putting the Iranians on the defensive.
Are we headed toward a war, Congressman, with Iran?
Iran's already been at war with us, Gordon. Iran was the ones that organized the storming of the U.S. embassy in Baghdad. Thankfully, President Trump sent the cavalry in and lifted that siege. They're the ones that have been shooting rockets into our bases. So it's naive to think that Iran has not been acting hostile toward us. What we are doing now is using maximum applied sanctions to drain them of revenue, so they cannot fund these military operations, and they can't fund actors of terror, such as the Houthi rebels in Yemen, Hezbollah, Hamas, and they've created a lot of discord with Syria, of course. So we are finally making sure that Iran is put in check and they can no longer spread chaos around the Middle East.
That's Pennsylvania Congressman Guy Reschenthaler. 14 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Have you realized yet the things you wanted to do in 2019 but didn't? So one goal I have for the new year is being more connected with others around me. The best way I found to maximize my time searching and filtering through information on how is through Blinkist. You see, Blinkist takes key insights from over 3,000 nonfiction books in over 27 categories and turns them into 15-minute text and audio explainers called Blinks. Blinkist helps me to understand the core ideas of each book. So when I'm commuting to and from work, Blinkist is great for me to get into a topic quickly, find new ones, and figure out which books I want to read or listen to, like How to Make People Like You in 90 Seconds or Less by Nicholas Boothman. Right now, Blinkist has a special offer just for our audience. Go to Blinkist.com/morning to start your free 7-day trial and get 25% off a Blinkist premium membership. That's Blinkist, spelled B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T, Blinkist.com/morning to get 25% off and a 7-day free trial. Blinkist.com/morning. Thanks for being with us. Former National Security Advisor John Bolton has announced he would testify in a Senate impeachment trial if called by lawmakers. Mr. Bolton's statement yesterday led to partisan wrangling over how the trial would be conducted. Mr. Bolton has previously conveyed that he has new information about the White House's Ukraine policy. Meanwhile, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi has held off on sending the approved articles to the Senate, saying she wanted to see more details on rules for a Senate trial, like whether witnesses will be called. Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell.
In 1999, every single U.S. senator agreed to establish basic parameters for the start of the trial up front and reserve mid-trial questions such as witnesses until later. The vote was 100-0.
The Democratic-led House approved abuse of power and obstruction of Congress impeachment articles last month. Alleged Mr. Trump tried to enlist a foreign power to help him in this year's election. 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning, Jennifer Koshenka is here with three big things you need to know.
Number one, the leader of Iran's Revolutionary Guard is threatening to set ablaze places supported by the U.S. over the killing of a top Iranian general in a U.S. airstrike last week, sparking cries from the crowd of supporters of death to Israel. Hassan Salami made the pledge before a crowd of thousands gathered in a central square in Kerman, the hometown of the slain general. Meanwhile, the debate continues in the U.S. over President Trump's order to kill the general. Republican Congressman Jim Banks of Indiana spoke with Fox.
Taking out Soleimani probably does more to diminish the prospect of war than anything else that this administration has done.
Democratic Senator Elizabeth Warren of Massachusetts spoke with MSNBC.
They have no credibility domestically. They have no credibility internationally. So they want to make the case that no. Here was our goal internationally, and that's all we were taking a look at. I say the burden of proof is on them. Come up with the evidence.
The Pentagon says it plans to send B-52 bombers and more troops to the Mideast. Number two, a 6.6 magnitude earthquake struck Puerto Rico before dawn today, less than a day after another one hit the U.S. territory and caused heavy damage in some areas. The U.S. Geological Survey said the quake hit just south of the island. The 5.8 magnitude quake that struck early yesterday morning collapsed five homes in the southwest and caused small landslides and power outages. Number three, the U.S. could begin deporting Mexican asylum seekers to Guatemala, where they can file asylum claims. The move is a significant expansion of the Trump administration's asylum deal with Guatemala, brokered in July, which it is using as an alternative to releasing the migrants into the U.S. When the deal was first implemented in late November, Guatemala initially agreed to only accept asylum seekers coming from El Salvador and Honduras. Mexican migrants who cross the border as soon as this week could be deemed eligible to be deported to Guatemala. The FBI, FAA, and Air Force are investigating a mystery in the skies over Colorado, Nebraska, and Kansas. Swarms of drones have been spotted there, sometimes in formation, but no one knows who's flying them. Morgan County, Colorado Sheriff David Martin.
My public is concerned with people being over their property, invasion of privacy.
The military and local companies have denied responsibility.
The FBI, the FAA, and the Air Force. All looking into this.
Yes. No one knows where they're coming
from. Drones in formation?
Mm-hmm. Aliens.
Somebody in their basement operating this. Thanks, Jen. 23 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Excuse me, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Here's some good news. There are now more reasons to make furniture in the U.S. than at any point since the financial crisis. Crate and Barrel, Williams-Sonoma expanding manufacturing in the U.S. Here's the bad news. Wall Street Journal reporter Ruth Simon says manufacturers are struggling to fill job openings. She's got an in-depth look at the desperation. Ruth, what have you found?
Here's the thing that's interesting. When I first started reporting this, I thought, you know, most of the furniture manufacturing had gone abroad. And what's true is that when you think about tables and bookcases and things like that, most of those are made offshore, but they're about half of the upholstered furniture, things like sofas and chairs, are made in the U.S. And for U.S. companies, a lot of them are trying to do things that they give you your choice of your fabric, your features. The problem that they're having is after years of financial stress, the financial crisis, foreign competition, they don't have enough skilled workers. And that's a real challenge. It's a challenge for all kinds of manufacturers, but it's particularly a challenge for the furniture industry because they're dealing with this reputation from their harder times.
Yeah, and what is like 9 weeks behind schedule, right? If you want something made?
Well, yes, I was talking to this one furniture maker, Century Furniture, which does custom furniture, and their delivery times have stretched. The idea of buying it in the U.S. is you're going to get what you want when you want it, but when you don't have enough workers, it puts stress on your delivery times.
We're speaking with Ruth Simon, senior special writer at the Wall Street Journal. She's written a piece about the lack of workers in the rebounding furniture industry. I like that this Catawba Valley Community College in Hickory, North Carolina, has sort of taken input right from the furniture manufacturers.
Right.
Explain that partnership.
So first of all, Hickory has long been one of the areas where you have a lot of furniture makers. But what happened is, working with a bunch of the furniture companies, the community college has created something called the Furniture Academy. And the curriculum for the Furniture Academy was designed with input from the local manufacturers. They have contributed equipment. They send over experienced employees who are actually paid by the college to run classes in the evening. And so they're teaching these skills, because furniture is actually, there are a bunch of skills that skilled workers you need for that. You need sewers, you need upholsterers. So students can come in and get that training. And demand for those workers is so high. One of the folks I talked to said, you know, whose company backs the Furniture Academy, he'll swing by in the evenings to get to know the students. So there's plenty of jobs for them once they get that training.
Thanks, Ruth. Wall Street Journal senior special writer Ruth Simon. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. It's a new year, the perfect opportunity to take your business to the next level by hiring the right people. But finding qualified candidates can be challenging. ZipRecruiter.com/Gordon makes it easy. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards. But they don't stop there. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience and invites them to apply to your job. As applications come in, ZipRecruiter analyzes each one and spotlights the top candidates, so you never miss a great match. ZipRecruiter.com/Gordon. ZipRecruiter is so effective, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. And right now, our listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/Gordon. That's ZipRecruiter.com/GORDON. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Again, ZipRecruiter.com/Gordon.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Tuesday, January 7. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. At least 35 people killed in a stampede during a funeral procession for an Iranian military leader. 6.5 magnitude earthquake struck Puerto Rico earlier today. Disgraced movie mogul Harvey Weinstein hit with more sex crime charges, this time in L.A. Pier 1 Imports closing up to 450 stores. The annual Consumer Electronics Show opens today in Vegas. Tua declares for the NFL draft. Starbucks today begins offering non-dairy drinks made with plant-based milk alternatives. And the heartwarming stories from Australia's wildfires. We'll have that story in about 20 minutes. Scores of states have asked the U.S. Supreme Court to schedule a fast-track review of the latest challenge to the Affordable Care Act, saying legal uncertainty is threatening the nation's healthcare system. In an appeal filed Friday, 20 states and the District of Columbia asked the justices to review a federal appeals court decision that found a key piece of the original law unconstitutional and raised questions about the rest of it. The states asked the high court to put the case on a fast track so the justices can rule during the 9-month term that is scheduled to end in late June. Analysis now from healthcare expert Seth Denson, co-founder of GDP Advisors, also author of a book called The Cure, a blueprint for solving America's healthcare crisis. Seth, set up what's happening right now.
Roughly a year ago, a federal judge out of Texas ruled that because of the 2017 Tax Cuts and Jobs Act passed by Republicans, which effectively eliminated the individual mandate, that the Affordable Care Act was unconstitutional because it couldn't stand alone without the individual mandate as part of it. That made it its way to the Fifth Circuit, who also agreed with the lower court's ruling, but did send it back down to the lower court to see if there was what's called severability. In other words, can the unconstitutionality of the individual mandate be severed from the rest of the Affordable Care Act? The whole law need to go away. Now, which leads us to what these, we'll call them more liberally led states are pushing for, which is for this to not go back down to the lower court, rather get to the Supreme Court, and do it expediently. And so 20 states, all led by Democratic leadership, are pushing for the Supreme Court to go ahead and take the case rather than it go back down to the lower courts, and try to expedite that through prior to the 2020 election.
All right, so this gets confusing at times because with at least a couple of different courts looking at this, the Affordable Care Act, and looking at a couple of different aspects within the law, it's hard to keep track of whether the Affordable Care Act is still in place or not. It is, right? But it's just the subject of these different lawsuits and reviews, it seems.
It is. So the original ruling, which came down last year, the judge, Judge Reed O'Connor out of Texas, stayed his own ruling, recognizing that to dismantle the Affordable Care Act would cause chaos within the system. He stayed his own ruling pending the appeals process. So the Affordable Care Act very much still is the law of the land. That's the number one thing that everybody needs to understand. It's still the law of the land. The second piece of this is, assuming, right, that either the Supreme Court does take it up or doesn't, it stays in the lower court and then again is found unconstitutional in the lower courts, we have to understand it took 5 years roughly for the Affordable Care Act to actually get implemented.
Yeah.
And in addition to the over 2,000 pages that was the Affordable Care Act, there's over 11,000 pages of regulations tied to the Affordable Care Act. And so, as my dad says, it's hard to put toothpaste back in tubes. Mm-hmm. And so, if ultimately this is found unconstitutional, understand that there's a lot that would have to happen to dismantle this thing and unwind the tentacles that is the Affordable Care Act.
We're speaking with Seth Denson. He's the co-founder of GDP Advisors, also author of a book called The Cure, A Blueprint for Solving America's Healthcare Crisis. So given what you've just set up then, how does this play out given the divided Congress we have right now and really no concrete bipartisan replacement in place or as a backup,
yeah,
say, if the ACA were to go get struck down?
I think there's a couple of things, and this is obviously the push that I think these liberal states or democratically led states are pushing for this to get to the Supreme Court. First and foremost, we must remember that the last midterm, the Democrats did really well on the idea of health care, right? The Affordable Care Act has kind of made its way into the hearts and minds of many Americans, mm-hmm. and it's relatively approved across the country now. So because the Republicans have failed to bring anything to the table to replace it, Democrats are seizing on the opportunity, and so for the Supreme Court to take this up, there has to be four liberal justices, which remember, there's four liberal justices on the court right now, that have to say, yeah, we want to go ahead and take this up now. So likely that will happen. For it to happen expediently, so prior to the 2020 elections, there would have to be five justices that say, hey, yeah, we'll take this up. So they would need one more. But let's also remember that the Affordable Care Act has been in the front of the Supreme Court twice before, and both times has been found constitutional. So likely that would be the outcome again. So I think that Democrats are playing on this idea that from an election perspective, they have the winds in their favor because Republicans have failed to provide anything that would be a plan to solve health care.
Thanks, Seth Denson from GDP Advisors. Again, the book is called The Cure, A Blueprint for Solving America's Healthcare Crisis. 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Welcome to Tuesday, Beyond the Headlines. Now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, if you've ever had a piece of popcorn lodged in your teeth, you can relate to this man's struggles and this cautionary tale of what not to do the next time this happens to you. A 41-year-old British man attempted to pry loose a piece of popcorn stuck in his teeth using multiple household objects, then developed a life-threatening infection that required him to undergo heart surgery. Adam Martin, a firefighter and father of three, says he used a pen lid, a toothpick, a piece of wire, and even a metal nail to try to remove the food, but was unsuccessful. A week later, Martin began to suffer from symptoms of a heart condition caused by bacteria that had entered his bloodstream through his gums. Scans of his chest showed the infection, and he underwent a 7-hour open heart surgery to repair the damage. Martin says that going to the dentist would have stopped all this from happening, and he says he's never eating popcorn again.
Man, that's terrifying.
Yeah. See, he's just prying at his gums with anything he can find because the popcorn was just driving him nuts. I've been there.
I know that feeling. I know, of course.
And I guess wound up like opening up a wound, and then bacteria went down into his bloodstream. I guess the gums are like a pipeline to your blood to your heart, I guess. So you don't want to ever damage your gums because of that.
That's why you got to take care of your teeth. I mean, we've referred to that before, that even broader health experts say we got to take care of the teeth. Like you said, it's a good description. It's a pipeline.
Yeah.
But I think he was doing okay, in my mind at least, with a pen lid, a pen cap.
Right.
Like a sharp Bic one.
Yeah.
You know, you can really, you know, wiggle things free, in my opinion.
based on experience. Yes.
But I think this, whatever piece of wire
and
perhaps a metal nail, I think probably did him in.
When metal is
bacteria.
Involved, it gets bad news after
that. And who wants to go to a dentist?
Right.
Because you think, well, in 30 seconds, I should be able to take care of this. Yeah. I don't need to go to a dentist, hop in the car, blah, blah, blah.
He ignored, I guess, there were some symptoms of this sort of developing, and he didn't go to the doctor to get. He could have got antibiotics that could have fixed this before it got to heart surgery stage. So lots of missteps along the way.
Man.
And in another example of how we all went into the wrong business, Gordon, a woman is hoping to make $5,000 selling a chicken tender online. The reason for the hefty price tag? She says it looks like a manatee. The listing was posted to Facebook Marketplace by Melinda Disbro, who says she bought the tender from a store near the Manatee Viewing Center at Apollo Beach, Florida. On the listing, which is filed under the Antiques and Collectibles category, Disbro wrote, "Must see to appreciate." She also listed the tender as being in new condition. She says the listing has been viewed over 5,800 times, and she's received over 500 messages. Now, if you're thinking this is just a money grab, Disbro says that's not the case. She says if the tender sells, she's going to donate the proceeds to an organization that supports manatee preservation.
She's a better person than me.
Why is that?
I wouldn't.
Was eating it?
No, I wouldn't. If somebody was willing to pay that kind of money for some chicken tender, I certainly would be keeping
it. I mean, it does look like a manatee. She's right. I give her the credit. It does resemble a manatee. I just don't know if I got an extra $5,000 laying around to throw that out there.
Mike Gavin, who is this woman's now personal marketing guru, whatever.
I'm sure it's tasty,
sure
too.
It looks like a manatee. 13 minutes now in front of the hour.
Michigan is one of the best places in the country to do business. But you don't have to take our word for it. Take Evan Lyles, CEO of Roush Enterprises, instead.
For the people that are involved in product development, there couldn't be more unique and exciting opportunities that are really going to shape the future of the world. It's a really exciting time to be in Michigan.
Big things are happening in business here. Find out why by searching Michigan Pure Opportunity.
New year, new budgets. Every small business has unique needs. When you partner with a Dell Small Business Technology Advisor, you get real-time, tailored advice. They'll even give you a free audit on your servers and storage devices to develop a custom solution to help improve your company's productivity. Plus, right now, upgrade to Windows 10 and get up to 45% off select business computers with Intel Core processors. To speak with a Dell Advisor, call 877-BUY-DELL. That's 877-BUY-DELL.
Thanks for being with us. Consider this on your commute to work or as you fire up the laptop today. A new study finds that living a 24/7 lifestyle in the nonstop digital age makes you more likely to gorge on fast food. Scientists found that racing against the clock or feeling as though time is running out triggers a desire to compensate by eating high-calorie junk food. Fox News says researchers found that in an era when digital technology allows people to stay connected to work, friends, and commerce around the clock, life can feel overly busy and time is often considered a scarce resource. Researchers said that when people sense this perception of time running out, they feel a sense of impending exhaustion of a resource and look to compensate with another one and that's calories. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is back with three big things you need to know.
Number one, Gordon, at least 35 people died and dozens were injured in a stampede today at a funeral procession for a top Iranian general who was killed last week in a U.S. airstrike. Dozens more were wounded in the panicked crowd in Iran's Kerman province, where Major General Qasem Soleimani was set to be buried. Meanwhile, Trump administration officials defended the president's decision to kill the general, Defense Secretary Mark Esper.
He is a terrorist, a leader of a terrorist organization who's been killing and attacking Americans for 20-some years. And the blood is on his hands. He was planning attacks on American forces.
U.S. officials are bracing for Iran to respond to the killing, noting heightened military readiness in the country and preparing for a possible attempt on the life of a U.S. military commander. Number two, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo told Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell he won't run for Senate. Pompeo had been considering running for Senate in Kansas, and rumors of his possible bid were intensified by frequent trips back to the state. The political future of the former congressman turned CIA director turned Secretary of State has been complicated by his entanglement in the Ukraine controversy. Number three, former National Security Advisor John Bolton, described by witnesses who testified at President Trump's impeachment hearings as alarmed at the pressure put on Ukraine, said he would testify in a Senate trial if subpoenaed by lawmakers. Bolton's statement spurred partisan debate over how the Senate impeachment trial would be conducted and adds pressure on Republicans to call the former official, Senate Minority Leader, Chuck Schumer.
The Republican leader has yet to make one single argument why witnesses should not testify. One single argument.
Bolton has previously conveyed that he has new information about the White House's Ukraine policy. And if you've ever shopped at CVS, you've most likely received one of those paper receipts that's absurdly long. Well, now those receipts have inspired fashion. There's an accessory you just have to have, the CVS receipt scarf. The black and white scarf, which is patterned after the long receipt, comes in a fleece material and sells for $21 on Etsy. It's advertised as a unique design, sure to turn heads. The perfect style and length to be worn by both men and women, teens and adults.
I am surprised that it has lasted this long.
Did you ever get one of those
yeah,
receipts?
Yeah, I just got one probably last week.
They are ridiculous.
I don't understand how they've stuck around, though, because they seem to be such a waste of paper.
I know.
Right? Under all today's pressure to be more mindful of that,
yeah.
CVS still cranking them out. Thanks, Jen. 6 minutes in front of the hour. Thanks for being with us. The devastating bushfires in Australia show no sign of abating. The country's prime minister, Scott Morrison, has warned they could continue for months. Already 30,000 square miles of land have been burned. But amid the shocking images of bright orange skies and blackened woodland, there have been some moments of goodwill and kindness. iNews.com in the UK put together a list which includes charities and celebrities raising funds to donate to local fire services in Australia. Among the most high-profile celebrities raising money are actress Nicole Kidman, who grew up in Sydney, and Natalie Portman. Singer Pink has donated $500,000. Also, Mogo Wildlife Park in New South Wales is home to Australia's largest collection of primates, and rangers have gone above and beyond to save their precious animals. To keep all 200 creatures safe, rangers found shelter in the park. One keeper even opened up his home to monkeys, a panda, and a tiger. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.